Thank the group for their ministry and song. It was lovely to sing about the Lord Jesus Christ as the rock. I believe it is a true story that many years ago in Dublin, a man was preaching the gospel in the open air. And a drunk man came up to him and he says, "Tell me about the shamrock, tell me about the shamrock." The man says, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is shamrock." And that's the reality of it, isn't it? All other ground is shamrock. It is good to be with you, and thank you very much for the invitation to share in the anniversary weekend. I don't want you thinking I'm acting super spiritual, but you know when you're not sleeping in your own bed, it's just hard to keep the sleep. So I was up at 4:45 on Friday morning, and I got to my own bed at 4:45 this morning. So if you say he's looking a bit haggard and a bit aged and all that there, you'll understand, and you'll bear with me. We're only home from Romania, 10 days with Norman Fox. And any of you know Norman, you'll know he's a worker. And what a lovely time. Now, we're in ecumenical meetings and things like that there. We took the Brethren, and we took the Baptist, and we took the Pentecostal meetings. So we're very much ecumenical, weren't we, in the right way? We worshipped with the Brethren and preached in their service. We took Baptist service, and then we preached in the Pentecostal church and took their midweek meeting and encouraged them the other night. And I'll tell you now, some of them have a hunger for this old book because they wanted two sermons. And sometimes in our churches, after 30 minutes, we're looking at our watches. We covered many miles, and we reached literally hundreds upon hundreds with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Several hundred boys and girls, several hundred men and women. Some were murderers. We were in places where my dog would not lie at night. It wouldn't just be us clean enough for it. So if you see any marks about the forehead, I've maybe got bit, but I was able to get the moisture out of my hair, for I don't have much. But we were places, and it was lovely, and it was tremendous to be. I haven't had meetings like it in a long time. Children's meetings. First meeting that I took was a children's meeting. 80 children in a village. All Orthodox. That's like you saying, Ivan, had any Roman Catholic boys and girls under the gospel. 80 children, and they don't have much. And when you get my age, you need to go to the bathroom quite a bit when you drink tea. So I see no toilet inside all me place. It says there's a toilet. Well, there's one up round the back. Well, it's a wooden hut, and I looked in. There's a hole in the ground. And I said, if I drop my watch down there, I ain't going down. Because it was just a bit of raw sewage and things like that there. But it was lovely to be out and about. And we've seen extreme poverty. That sometimes I hide my emotions. My wife would tell you that. But I had to walk out in tears. See children with, honest, an old shack, and that's all you could call it. I have a better garden shade out the back to keep my lawnmower in. And we went to villages and stuff and ministered the gospel. And we met people who are believers from gypsy background. And when you preach the gospel to them and taught them the word of God and the assurance of salvation, a big man sat down and the tears rolled down his face. And his wife over there, the tears rolled down her face. And he come to hug me at the end of the meeting. And, you know, I'm not into hugging. I just hug my own wife. But that's what they do. And kiss the cheeks. And I'm a wee soft boy, you know. Well, boy, the designer stubble, he jagged my mouth. And the BO of him was a wee bit strong because he doesn't buy the owner like we do. But he's an elder in a wee church. And we make excuses about getting to church. You have to walk up a field about 3 days camel right away. And then when you get there, you have to cross a wee wooden bridge and it goes over a river. And it wasn't very warm in the place. And Mr. Fox says, an older woman is cold in here. So what, she says. But it was honestly, it was lovely, tremendous to be there. And to share in Norman's ministry, many miles covered. There's a young woman who worked with her for several days. She's about 49 years of age. She reaches 600 children a week with the gospel of Jesus Christ. She works with CEF, and she can hardly afford to keep a car on the road. If it wasn't for the Norman Fox missionary cost, fuel and her petrol, she gets paid that low, she can hardly go out. Because you can't raise support. Somebody says to her, move and go somewhere else. To leave 600 children. I wonder how some of these outfits lost their vision. Tell her to move. Reaching 600 boys and girls for Jesus Christ. She's gone into places I wouldn't let my dogs go. And tremendous. So God bless you in your weekend. I'm not here to speak about my trip. I'm here to read from the Word of God. Just one moment of prayer, please. Our Father, we thank you for what we've heard in the ministry of song tonight. That the Lord Jesus Christ is our rock. That the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. Soon and very soon we're going to see the King. And we've only one life and it'll soon be passed. And it's only what's done for him will last. So may the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brethren, I'm reading from the book of Philippians, Paul's letter, chapter 3. Chapter 3 of Philippians. I'll just come in about verse 10 and to verse 14. Well, to verse 15, 16. We'll go as far as verse 16. And I'm sure you've read it many times in your own book. And we'll turn to the Word of God. Philippians 3, verses 10, excuse me, to 16. Paul says these lovely words. He says that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth on those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, and let us mind the same things. Amen. Brethren, even in Romania today, they're getting a wee bit like Northern Ireland. When they were under the iron heel of communism, they were keener. But now they've got Western TV, and they've got Coca-Cola, and they've got McDonald's, and they've got Subway, and they've got all these places that you and I have, Little and all that there. In my early days, when I was out with Norman Fox in 1982, you very seldom seen any other car than an old car called a Dacia. Now, there's newer ones now, but now you'll see BMWs, you'll see Mercedes, you'll see Ford Kuga, you'll see Ford Galaxy, you'll see Volvos, you'll see everything going. But you'll also see the church saying, ah, tonight it's cold, I couldn't be bothered going. Or I'm a wee bit tired, I'll not go tonight. And you'll also see envy and strife and division. And that's happening, and brethren, it's happening at home. And if you read the book of Philippians, there was a little lack or two in the Philippian church at many times. In chapter 2, verse 2, I believe there was a lack of harmony. For he said to them, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Why would he say that if there was harmony in the church? And brethren, what's happening in Ulster today is some churches, there's not harmony in it. Sometimes between the pastorship and the leadership, there's not harmony. And the membership, there's not harmony. But we come to our midweek meeting, we bow our head and we ask God to bless and move and save. And maybe we should repent and give sin its proper title and get harmony sorted out in the church. If I can't shake Mr. Campbell's hand and love him for God, I need to be on my knees. If I can't shake Mr. Hepburn's hand and love him for God, I should be on my knees. And do you know up and down Ulster, there's churches on their way to court. If you left the Belfast Telegraph out the other week, you'll read about Ballinahinch Congregational Church. Recently, a man threatened to burn it to the ground in our newspaper. And that's some witness for the Lord Jesus, isn't it? That would commend the gospel, wouldn't it? And there's a lack of harmony in Philippi. Why would he say, be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind? He's not saying, brethren, make clones of yourself. He's saying, have the same mind of Christ. Have the mind of the Lord Jesus. And there was a little lack of harmony in that church. I suppose I want to move on quickly. There was a lack of humility. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. We live in a selfish world today. And brethren, as a selfish spirit has blown into the church. And I've seen folk out in Romania putting other believers before themselves and serving one another in love. And there's a lack of humility today about the people of God. Some think they have a right to this and a right to that and a right to the other. The only thing I have a right to is to go to hell. But in his grace and mercy, he saved me and I ain't going to hell. And sometimes, brethren, there's a lack of humility. You know what I mean? Somebody stands in your toe and boy, or you rub the old cat, you rub the further wrong road. And sometimes there's a lack of humility. It was happening there. So there was. In chapter 4 and 3, I would say there was a lack of helpers. Two women had fell out in the church. Verse 2, he says, I beseech you, Odias, and I beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also through through yoke fellow, help these women. There was a lack of helpers. And sometimes in the work of God, there's a lack of helpers. Room for pleasure, room for business. Room for family, room for friends. Room for the social life. But when it comes to doing something for him, 101 excuses. And we need helpers in the church. And sometimes in the smaller churches like ours, you have more to do. For there's a lack of helpers. And there's something for Jesus I believe every believer can do. Even the youngest. I seen a young girl in Romania. And we were out on Friday night doing outreach with a wee woman. Mr. Fox called her Sister Ina. Now, she's not a nun. That's just her name, Sister Ina. She's never married. Maybe she was wise not to marry. I don't know about that. But she's about 75 years of age. She's had a stroke. She's partially paralyzed in one leg. And she's doing a work for God I couldn't do. She goes out on the streets and she gets the people up from the sewers and she ministers the gospel of Jesus Christ to them and she feeds them. And last Friday night we thought that's where we were going, but she didn't. She took us to a shelter for the homeless. And boy, when we got there, I have a weak stomach. Maybe some of you have a weak stomach. And we gets to the shelter and she makes all the soups and stew in her wee abode. And my, oh my, you can't get into her wee place where she lives in a flat 5 floors up for all this food she stores. So she says, we're going to the homeless shelter. Well, folks, we get to this homeless shelter. And we goes up to this room. And boy, you see the marks of sin on the lives of men. Terrible. The blight of it upon them. And anyway, I have a weak stomach and we get up in the top floor where there seemed to be the majority of them. And you know what it's like. If there are men on the streets, they're not running about buying roll-on and all this stuff. You know, they just don't buy it. Well, the stench, I could taste it. I could taste it. And the love of this woman for God. And the respect her, believe it or not. And when she speaks, they keep quiet. Hardened men. One of them came over and told us he murdered somebody and never got caught. Got away with it. His conscience troubled him. She told him, you need to repent of your sin. He said, I have a problem with drink. She says, you need to take that to the Lord too. And he went to the police and handed himself in. Now, it's all changing, but they said 10 years has passed and they didn't want to know about it. But boy, oh boy. So she says, all they were here, one of the boys, preach the gospel to them. Through the other door, there's another pile of men. And some of them are scarred and marked by sin. And she says to the boy, I'm standing there, tell your friend to preach the gospel. He says, I was only here to see what's going on. So you do what she tells you, you know. Sometimes it's good to do what a woman tells you. And I starts preaching the gospel, and this chap's interpreting, and this boy's lying over here, and the more I'm preaching, the more he's bawling and shouting. Now, he probably was saying, you're not much of a preacher, I don't know. But he didn't seem to like the message anyway. And there's a security guard, and he walks around with a baton. And maybe we need this in the church. And he went over to him, and I turned to look away, and I looked the opposite way, and your man says to me, did you see what he done? He says he just took the baton out and gave him a couple of slaps. Boy, I'll tell you, he quieted them for us. You could take him to the meeting, you know. And there's a wee girl among it doing this work out of this wee brethren assembly as well. And she's walking up and down past hardened men, hunting them out cups of soup. The next day, while we're doing the brethren opened the church up to feed the homeless for a meal at the church, bowl of soup, main course and all this here, sweet after. That wee girl's back again the next day. In among it, serving Christ. There's a man out on the Friday night and he's out on the Saturday and he's out on the Sunday twice. And now Willie McRae, was it him sung Excuses, Excuses? I don't know, friend, not really a fan of his music anyway. I can listen to these folk all right. But you know what I'm talking about, brethren, don't you? A lack of helpers. And we need to pray that God will raise up a lack of helpers for the next generation. Because I'm sure when this place was getting built in the beginning, maybe there was a lack of helpers. But men and women put their money to the wheel. And their shoulder to the wheel. And to help to get this place up and going and built for God's honor and God's glory. And we need to pray for the next generation coming through. Because if you come to my church and I look down in yours, I would say there's a lot of you folk and you are over 50. I'll not offend you too much, you know. I wouldn't do that on you. I don't offend people if I can. The gospel offends them. I don't apologize. And you're getting a bit long in the tooth. And you're hoping somebody comes along and takes up the mantle. And helps. These two women weren't getting on. He says, help them. It's a lack of helpers. And boy, chapter 4 and 4 is a lack of happiness. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Boy, we think an Ulster, you have to get a 3-piece suit, a big back Bible, and a big long face like a wet weekend, and you can't be happy in the Lord. Well, I don't accept that. I enjoyed the world. And I was in it for the first 32 years of my life. And it cost me an awful lot to enjoy it. And I sat in an awful lot of broken cisterns in the water's field. And I would have been out the night and maybe home about 1 o'clock in the morning. And I enjoyed it. And I enjoy the Lord. I got a drink at the wells of God's salvation. And it quenched the thirst. Boy, God's people have a right to be joyful, haven't they? And he says, rejoice in the Lord. He doesn't say, can I rejoice in your circumstances? Sometimes they're bad. He says, rejoice in the Lord. There was a lack of happiness. Some of God's people aren't happy. My, oh my, I preach in a wee church in a wee village called Lisa. And a wee built in Deer Haltlam. And I had to go over a river. And a wee block of concrete. And Norman Fox says, we'll get you the blocks to build a church. They said, we'll build it ourselves. Or you get us the blocks. And they build it themselves. And a wee stove and a wall burning. And 45 children under the gospel. Many of them old Orthodox religion. An old dead religion. And they're sitting there joyful in the Lord. And they don't have what we have. And brethren, they were happy. Like you see that cup of tea? A wee bit cold. And you see the one sandwich? I didn't like them sandwiches. Do you like them sandwiches? And you see your woman's buns? And you see his haircut? Do you see her coat? He's been wearing that suit for 5 years. That goes on. My daughter went to a church and this boy was actually a policeman in the same station as me. Now here's the strangest thing. I got saved and I didn't know he was saved. He never come and told me. And he didn't say, hey, you're a wee baby in Christ. Boy, when a baby's born into your family, you get to know it. And he appeared on a bookshop when I was serving God in the west of Ireland. He came in and he says, don't I know you from somewhere? He says, hey, you know me from Lurgan. He's been a wee CD. He's about to say, you saved. You saved. So you know what I've done? I got home that night, you're going to laugh. I phoned my son. He says, is so-and-so saved? He says, Kelly's been saved for years. I didn't know. I didn't know. And one night there was a supper in the church. And you know the way the ladies say, well, thank God for the ladies. Sometimes you say, where's the men? And they're bringing the supper in, they're bringing the buns in. This woman tripped. Mouth and nose, buns everywhere. You stupid woman! They were my wife's buns. What about helping her up? What's a bun? So say, you've had a few, I know I have. Not right now. But what's a, brethren, what's a bun? What's a bun? And I'll tell you now, you had a face on him every time you seen him like a wet weekend. And Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. Something else, brethren. 4 and 8, quickly. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, there was a lack of honesty. God's people must live an honest life. I went to a big church in Lisburn. And if they took the government cars out on Sundays, 2 or 3 of them would have been walking home. They shouldn't have had them. How do you know, can I? I've seen them walking. Seen them walking River Topaz. And also went and got the forms, because what happened is, some of you maybe know, my wife had a bad accident. Simple accident at the start, broke the leg. Of course, the complications shot in. Then they had to take her in. Then they had to take the plates out and the screws out. Then they had to open it up, cut a bit off the leg, put her foot up, put a big bolt up the middle, and that's the way she's walking about. And the lady says to me, can I need to look after your wife? I says, I do look after my wife. She says, what are you getting? What help are you getting? I say, what do you mean? She says, I've seen her walk and she can hardly walk. I say, what do you do? She says, you go up to town, get forms. I'll go and get them. I just done that to get the old doll off my back. Sometimes they're a pain in the neck, you know. Well, anyway, this woman tortured me. So I went and got these forms. Say, well, I better do that, because Mrs. Taggart's in my back all the time. I sets the form down, read it. We read it. Can you walk so far? Not what do you like after you do it. Can you walk so far?
I can't fill them in, can I? We'd have to tell lies. Some of them has to tell lies. Isn't that right? A lack of honesty. And he says whatever things are true. And then he talks about a lack of holiness in the verse where he says, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. Holiness. Holiness touches every area of my life. It touches my family life. It touches my marriage. It touches my business deals. Everywhere I go. I heard a story recently that would grieve your heart. About all these young ones at these rallies at weekends. So they've been out on Sunday morning, they've been out on Sunday night, and there's no rally. And a wee Christian girl asked to get into the back of a car, and the boy wanted hands all over the place. Calls his car the love machine, wants her into the back of the car. The girl says, no. 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 She dropped them. His mate come and says, he's upset, he still wanted to go here. She told the our wee lassie the story. He tried the same on me. I'm going to tell you folks, all the meetings in the country will not let you live a holy life and make you live a holy life. The Holy Ghost will have to make you live a holy life and help you live a holy life. Oh, why? Well, what kind of the hems and the hats and the AVs? I have no problem with that, by the way. But that doesn't mean you're living a holy life. No, it doesn't. And he says, whatever things are pure. Whatever things are pure. We girls studied in the Bible college, and I'll not name it. Southern lassie. Do you know what the subject was in the common room? Sex. You could hardly go into it. I think, brethren, we've lost a wee bit, haven't we? Lost a wee bit. Holiness. We lack of it now. And Paul had an attitude and Paul had an ambition. And in verse 10 there of chapter 3, you see his priority. Listen what he says. That I may know him. That I may know him. I wonder, is there one in the meeting tonight and you don't even know him? You have never been to Calvary for the cleansing power and you're not washing the blood of the Lamb. That can happen, you know, in the church. He says that I may know him. And here's old Paul, he's been saved for years, probably coming to the end of his life, and his experience and his ambition is to know him better. You know what I wrote one day at the top of this Bible, I still have it in blue pen. My desire, that I may know him. Deeper, deeper in the love of Jesus, daily let me go. Higher, higher in the school of wisdom, more of grace to know. And you know what involved learning Christ? He says in verse 8, doesn't he? Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but dung that I may win Christ. The excellence of the knowledge. He was going to sacrifice anything and everything that stood in his way of going further and deeper with the Lord. You know, brethren, the Lord Jesus says in Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You need to learn about Christ. And you learn about him, brethren, in the book. And I wasn't saved until I was 32. And I'm not going to tell you my age. But I'll tell you this here. In all my ignorance and all my lack of education, because I didn't get much, I wanted to learn about him. We showed dogs before we were saved. We traveled England, Ireland, Scotland. And when it come to breeding programs of dogs and pups and magazines and things, I'd have said to my wife, she bred that and she used that stud dog and that pup come out of that and this and come out. What do you mean, can I? I've read up on it. The father of that dog is this and that. Do you know why I knew it? I had an interest in it. And you learn about Christ from the book. Some of them know more about their sport and their social life and their cars. One thing I saw in the Brethren Assembly last Sunday morning when I was preaching, the men had decent-sized Bibles, marginal Bibles, ballpoint pens and bits of paper. And when you were preaching and teaching, they took it down. They were learning about Christ. I'm sure if you come to our churches and you ask some of your Christians to show you the death of Christ in the book, they wouldn't know where to start. And brethren, I've been praying for cold rain. You know what I'm praying? That God will give me young men and women who have a desire for the book. I've only one string to my bow, and it is the Word of God. That people would want to know him and learn about him. And how Paul says he would sacrifice anything. And you get to know the Lord and the Word. My wife is a friend. You know what her husband tell a boy? I don't read my Bible. God speaks to me directly. Ha ha. I don't read my Bible. That's so chips. Huh? God speaks to me directly. Adam and said, when's the last time he spoke to you? What did he say? Boy, wouldn't it be lovely you hadn't opened the book, huh? Come on now. Folks, I ain't stupid. And I might look it, but I don't swallow those pills when people give me them. God speaks to me directly. I wouldn't limit the Lord. You know, I know he could speak to a man, and I'm not limiting God. In any way, I'm not. But I don't wear this lazy Christian mantle that I don't open the book. You learn about Christ from this book. And it didn't only involve learning Christ. It involved loving Christ. He says that he may win Christ. Doesn't he? Just at the end of the verse. That he may win Christ. And you always want to know a person better. And the better you get to know them, isn't it wonderful? Verse 8 he says, win Christ. Verse 9 he says, found in Christ. And there's more to gain a knowledge of him, isn't there? You know him as Savior, you know him as Sovereign, you know him as Lord, you know him as Satisfied. Now, where there's desire, there's a longing. I phoned my wee hen the other week and she says, I'm missing you. I says, is the dogs missing me? She says, funny enough, they're on the boot looking at you. They're on the boot looking at you. And you see, there's desire, isn't there? So there is. And there's passion now. I'm being clean about this. Passion. I love my wife. I love my wife. And you know, the boyfriend and the girlfriend and the husband and the wife. Boy, there's love, isn't there? And brethren in the church, as we age and go on, don't some of God's people need to get their priorities right? Need to get their priorities right. Need to learn from Christ. Need to love Christ. Love the Word. I love the Word of God. Sometimes there's preachers and they can't listen too well. I don't mind sitting if a man takes the book out and gives me something from it. I can listen. I can listen. But brethren, isn't it lovely? And some of God's people need to get their priorities right. The wee fella that was with us, and then the Pentecostal chap took us round to his house for a quick coffee. And they both said the same. God's people leaving in Romania need to get their priorities right. You want to hear the excuses I've heard why people can't get the meetings? Heard about a wee woman one time. You know what she said? I couldn't get out to the evening service. The cat didn't come home. Well, sure, let the old thing run. It'll not get wet and not get soaked. It'll be under the car, it'll be under the garage, it'll be up on the roof, it'll be behind a bush. The cat didn't come home. Huh? You heard that one? Cat never come home. Man, dear. Folks, that's true. Cat never come home. Why, oh my. I'm sure it grieves the Lord the cat never come home. But Paul had his priorities right. He says that I may know him. And then, brethren, after his priority, you see his part. He says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. You know, when you get saved, you don't go home on your own. The Lord goes home with you. I think there's a lot of Christians think he saves you and then says, hey, get out there and paddle your own canoe. And you know when you hit a big rocky one, I'll not be with you. No, you're on your own. Folks, that's religion. That ain't salvation. That ain't salvation. And you see, the Lord says, I will give you the power to live and to walk and to witness for me. And Paul wanted a Christ-like life. wanted to be godly. And to live a holy life, it takes the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. I love Ephesians chapter 1, 19 to 20. Listen what he says. He says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him in his own right hand in the heavenly places? The power that took our Lord Jesus from the tomb and the power that took him back to glory is available to us as believers." So it is. Boy, I know I get down a wee bit, and you get down in small numbers, don't you? And you get down, you start on a Sunday morning, and such and such isn't out, and then you hear the sneezed, or they cracked their toenail or something. But boy, come Monday when the social side's on, if they're away yet. But I don't think God's people need to limp to heaven. You know, not a bit of it. Not a bit of it. I know we get knocked down a lot of times, but we don't get knocked out. And brethren, we meant to be knocked out. And he says the power that raised him from the dead is at the disposal of believers. Power to work for Christ. I wondered how that old woman, Norman Fox calls her the Gladys Aylward of Romania. And they get down the stairs, or maybe she came down the lift, I don't know, but coming out of the wee flat, they get into the van. One links this arm and one links the other arm, in case you fall, and they take her to it. And you get her out in the streets, and then it's time to go. And, right, we're going now. Oh, no, we're not going yet. We're not going yet. And on the Saturday lunch, she brought a wee boy over. Wee ma. It's hard to tell ages, isn't it? I'm sure you think I'm about 35, but I'm a wee bit older than that. But she brings this wee boy over, and it's hard to tell his age. And this is a tremendous work of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. She met him on the streets as a wee boy. And he could hardly look you in the eye or speak. What do you think he's doing today? Serving the Lord amongst refugee Muslims in Romania. And he can look them in the eye and tell them about Jesus. Who done that? For a wee boy that couldn't speak or look you in the face. The Lord done it. The Holy Ghost done it. And he says the power of his resurrection. Power to walk with God. Power to witness for God. Now, brethren, it's nothing to do with legalism. Our laws. Our rituals. It's to do with the Spirit of God. It's his work. It's his work. It's the Lordship of Christ. And the power that raised him from the dead is available to us. Can't you see his priority? Can't you see his power? What about his partnership? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Fellowship. Fellowship in our society is tea and buns. And sometimes a bit of cake with cream through on the side. With tremendous fellowship. Well, you can take that if you want. And I enjoy that sort of fellowship. You'd know by the shape of me, wouldn't you? So you would. But that wee word fellowship in biblical language, it means to have a common interest. Now today they're telling us they're saved and they've no interest in the work of God. They've no interest in the worship of God. And they've no interest to witness for God. Not right. And they want us to accept them as saved. The early church wouldn't have accepted it. But anything will do me, for I don't see too many converted these days. And right now. And that's not what he's talking about. It means to have a common interest. It means to have a joint participation with someone. And the Apostle Paul knew that when you walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, you are going to suffer, brethren. We know it with Usher's Bakery. I didn't get reading the paper the day, so the eyes were hanging out of my head. But there was an Orwee one, the Telegraph, was it down south? He wouldn't print an old wedding invitation. How can two men get married? Here's my wife. A wife's a female. My wife. And they're suffering for the Lord Jesus Christ. So they are. And when we get saved, you enter into the fellowship of his suffering. I'm sure some of you dear folk have suffered. You have suffered because of family problems. I know all about it. I've walked in your shoes. I had a daughter totally rebelled that she near had me demented. And I had none of that suffering until I got saved. I know what it's like to be up 2 and 3 in the morning crying and praying. Not knowing where she is. And you suffer for the Lord sometimes when you go through the mill and you want to go on with Him. And you're in partnership with a suffering Savior. So you are. You're in partnership with Him. You see the same lassie today. She rings her house about 3 times a day. You think I was going to die or something. And she rung the day and answered the phone about tea time. And she says, "Oh, Dad, it's great you're home and all. And we text and all, love you and all this here." She says, "Hey, darling, I'm getting ready to go out to a meeting. I was praying there. Talk to your dear mother. I'll ring you tomorrow. I can put the teapot on for her. I'll put the teapot on for a ring. And text from the yard to you. You think I wasn't coming home?" And brethren, if you're suffering, you're in partnership with the King. And nobody ever suffered like Him. And sometimes we focus on the physical suffering. What about when He took my filth and dirt on Him outside a city wall? My sin upon His shoulders. Now, not in Him, on Him. I think that was more the suffering, wasn't it? Despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. A fellow says one day to me, I meet with him. Funny enough, my wife says, "Kenny, there's a call last night." Oh, I says, "I'll go and see him today. And there's problems in his family and there's problems with his brother. And he's had a hard life." And I went round. He said about all this suffering. I looked him in the eye one day and I says, "Do you know, nobody suffered like him." Took him, stripped him, whipped him, beat him, mocked him, scourged him. Soldiers punched him. And I said, if that wasn't enough, all my filth and dirt upon him. Not a bit of wonder there was the dark side of Calvary. And dear brethren, you're in partnership with Christ if you're suffering. And some of us want to get to heaven without suffering. You can't. Paul says we must enter the kingdom of God through much tribulation. Talk to the brethren in Romania. Through much tribulation. And you see, when there were a persecuted church, there were a sharper church, there were a purer church, there were a cleaner church, and they saw more souls saved. And he says the fellowship of his sufferings. And Paul knows what he's talking about, doesn't he? He had his beatings, he had his imprisonments, he had his shipwrecks, and all this here. And my, oh my, it was serious, wasn't it? Now take Paul's day and culture. If you named the Lord Jesus, you suffered. If you named the Lord Jesus, you suffered. Old Nero was on the throne. Do you know one of the things that rascal did? To make torches in his garden, he put tar on God's people and set them on fire. The fellowship of his sufferings.